afternoon and good evening, whenever or wherever you're watching or listening. This is the Osmo NHL DFS Strategy Show, and I am your host, Michael Clifford, a.k.a. Slim Cliffy. Joining me for the next hour to talk about his Tuesday special, our single-entry assassin, Mr. Joshua Harris. Josh, how you doing today, buddy?
I had some jokes in my head. I'm going to refrain from saying it. We have a big slate. We have no time for shenanigans.
Yeah. We're assuredly going to land into some jokes along those lines a little bit later in the show. So we'll just hold off on those for now. Before we get too much further, just want to thank Yahoo Fantasy. They are our sponsor, have been our sponsor the entire season. They've been very good to us. You guys should be playing over on Yahoo Fantasy. We have a little giveaway from them to talk about a little bit later, but thanks to Yahoo. And also, I see nearly 50 people down to 40 in the chat. If you guys could give us a thumbs up, click that like button, it will really help us out. Click the subscribe button as well, help us grow this channel, keep these shows coming on a regular basis, and make sure you click the bell so you can get alerts and notifications whenever we do go live. All right, let's talk about last night's slate real quick. Didn't really go that well for me. I stacked Washington. I stacked Washington and New Jersey. I didn't get the right Washington goals, obviously. New Jersey didn't really come through, only had two goals. Their stacks didn't do anything. So I did not do well last night. How'd you do, Josh?
In cash, I played 281 in cash. I returned 284. So $3 of pure profit. In GPPs, I actually somehow cashed. I had a Dallas power play stack. I think because they were so cheap, I paired them with Crosby and Gensel, late hammer, who got there. And then who else? Oh, you know, Travis Hamonic got the block bonus late in the third. So snuck me into the min cash with Demko. So we take that and run. Big $20 on DraftKings tonight, big Super Bowl, which is probably filled up last night on FanDuel. Fill that stuff up. Let's get some bigger GPPs. It doesn't matter what time the GPPs fill. DraftKings is just, you know, blindfolded throwing darts when they size the contest.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm glad you brought up Vancouver. I'm just going to take 2 seconds to talk about them. We do have a big slate, so we're not going to go too much further. But they did get a new coach, Bruce Boudreau. Shut out Los Angeles 4-0. I only watched the first period of that game. Like, Vancouver looked fine. Like, at least they didn't look like they were getting outplayed by Los Angeles. How do you think, Boudreau can really help this team, like, turn it around? Because, like, we don't really care if they turn it around defensively. We care if they turn around their offense. Did you watch that game? Did you see anything? Do you think he can help them out in any way?
I mean, the beat writers were super excited, like, oh, Pettersson has some speed through the neutral zone. Like, he was dogging it for the other coach, like, through the neutral zone. But, like, yeah, he's a good offensive coach. I don't know, like, for this season, maybe, yeah. But, like, if you're into, like, season-long or, like, just NHL in general, they're in some serious cap hell. So I don't know, like, what's going to happen going forward. They're going to have to make some moves. So if they're going to be out of it, I would imagine they're going to try to dump some contracts. So we'll see what happens. But I do like Boudreau for an offense coach. And, you know, he related to all of us older fellas last night when he was trying to get out of his seat. That's how I am after the show, dropping F-bombs, because my back is just seizing up on me.
Yeah, Bruce Boudreau dropping F-bombs, just trying to get out of his chair at his first press conference. I really like that guy. I hope he does well in Vancouver. Just want to say hello to chat. I see you guys are feeling a little feisty today. Must be that $20 special over on DraftKings. Mr. S. Goodman sends a $5 super chat. Thank you for the super chat. Mr. Goodman just says, Mitch Marner, rehab fun. Get well soon, Mitch. Josh is thinking about you. In fact, yeah. I think we have a vigil for Mitch Marner's shoulder a little bit later here tonight. I see 6-0 says, took down the $500 clapper with Anaheim 1 and Pitt 1. I appreciate that, Josh. I also want to shout out Jake, because you and Jake did the show yesterday. And Jake was, I remember him being pretty adamant about staying on Pittsburgh 1 last night. And I think you were as well, basically that, you know, Seattle's fine defensively, but their goaltending is a horror show. And that, you know, that just kind of proved it true last night.
Rang true. They gave up 3 goals in the first 6 shots or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So Seattle, good defensive team, goaltending still just absolutely abysmal. So congrats 6-0 on that $500 clapper bank. Hopefully we can win some money because, like Jake mentioned, there is a big contest over on DK here tonight. And before we get going through, just one more time, if you guys could just like and subscribe, click that bell to get alerts when we do go live, and check out what we have up on the site today. My Osmo Power Plays article is up on the site, free to read. So you don't have to be an Osmo member to read it. I just go through some of my favorite options for tonight's slate. We also have free premium tools and data up on the site. We usually do almost every day, today being no exception. We have NBA player rankings and we have NHL player rankings, both up on the site. So check us out, see what we have to offer. And if you like, maybe you'll want to subscribe with us. I see some people aren't very big fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So no better way to start this show than by talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Columbus has a 2.5 implied goal total, while Toronto is at home with that 3.5 implied goal total. No Mitch Marner again tonight. Looks like, I mean, they say 3 to 4. I think they said about 3 to 4 weeks. So it's safe to assume after Christmas is when he'll return. They're going to leave Wayne Simmonds up on the top line. But the coach said that, you know, Matthews is going to get a lot of different wingers here tonight. So, you know, maybe Kasha jumps up there. Maybe you'll see some David Kampf jump up there. You know, some guys on the fourth line, whatever. I think you'll see a lot of different looks up on that top line with Austin Matthews rest expected. Both Travis Dermott and Rasmus Sandin out. Jake Muzzin expected to take over the second power play unit. All right, what do you have for us, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Matthews is going to have, I can't imagine Simmonds lasting more than a few shifts up there. Like, especially because Kasha is going to be on the top power play unit tonight. So, I mean, they're going to rotate a whole bunch of people up there, like you said, but at home, Toronto probably going to send out Zavaris line against Boone Jenner, Bjorkstrand, Nyquist, which just frees up Matthews to go hog wild on whoever they want on the Jackets. Problem is, it's kind of hard to stack that top line. There's, you know, if you want to put like Matthews Bunting together, they'll probably stick together for most, if not all, of the game. And I think that's fine. But really, I think for me, like, I'm going to approach this kind of like I did the Dallas Stars last night, because Kasha's so cheap, I think you can power play one stack here. Matthews is under 9K. Like, both Tavares and Nylander are down under 7K now. Kasha 2,800. And, you know, if you want to include Riley, you can. He's 5,400. That price really is reasonable. His shot rate has come up a little bit in the past few weeks. That's about as nice as thing I'll say about Morgan Riley. So I think, you know, for a full line, I think I'll go to that Tavares Nylander line for a full line stack. But I think, you know, their total has come up during the day even. So I think, you know, power play stacking is a very viable option on this 10 game slate. And, you know, again, it's not going to break the bank. Like, you don't have to, you know, jam in min price guys to fit them in like you normally would have to. These prices have come down a bit. So I think that is in play. On the Columbus side, I just, you know, 2.2 total maybe seems low, but like, even if it was 2.5, 2.6, it might be tough for me to get anything in like full stack wise. Like, I don't mind Roslovic at 2,800 or Roslovic Domi if you're getting like really expensive, you need a two man, but you know, there's going to be other cheap spots that I like. So I'm probably going to be out pretty much on the Jackets tonight.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on Columbus here, is like, there are a couple lines I do like, but they're just at roughly the same price and in a worse spot with other lines that I like better. So like, it's another one of those things where if somebody says, I'm playing Columbus one tonight, do you think that's fine? I'd say, yeah, I think that's fine. It's just not something I'm approaching because I think there are other better spots elsewhere on the slate. So this is a Toronto game for me. I brought it up in our Discord, what Austin Matthews's numbers have been without Mitch Marner or William Nylander on his line the last couple of years. And quite frankly, they're not good. 51% shot share, underwater by scoring chance share. Like, underwater by scoring chance share for an Austin Matthews line is just horrific. So like, I have no real interest in playing Matthews here tonight. Like, if you want to throw him in with a Toronto power play stack or something like that, that's fine. I just think with the rotating cast of forwards, you either put him in a power play stack one off him or don't play him. Like, I'm not line stacking him, you know, with Simmons and Spezza or something like that tonight. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, and you mentioned Andre Kasha top power play. So, like, Matthews and Kasha and Riley would even make more sense to me than Matthews and Simmons and Riley. You know what I mean? So that's about where I'm at. I do like Toronto too here a lot. I wrote up William Nylander in the power plays article. Per 20 minutes, he's averaging like 4 shots on goal. And without Mitch Marner in tonight, he'll probably play around 20 minutes. So, and with Columbus being a high-paced team, I think he's a big threat for the shot bonus here tonight. And, you know, Toronto 2 is not too expensive. So I do like them as a stack here tonight. On the blue line, like I said, I think Jake Muzzin is going to get some second power play minutes. So I don't mind him, 2,500. On the Columbus side, there's a trio of guys I think are all reasonable at 3K. I just don't know how to pick them apart. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Carolina for a few seasons ago. You have your preference of the guys and you just play the one you like. Bockwist, Gavrikov, or Bean, pick your poison. That's probably a bad choice of words, but like pick the guy you like and play him. I also don't mind Muzzin. And if you're not, I wouldn't one off Riley. I think he would just be in stacks for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's get to this next game then. Tampa Bay, 3.1 implied goal total. They're going into Montreal. The Habs have a 2.4 implied goal total. Something stuck out to me, and that's Tampa Bay 2. Tampa Bay 2 is leaving Gabriel Fortier on that second line with Alex Killorn and Anthony Cirelli. And I went did a little digging on Mr. Fortier here, and it seems he's an excellent, excellent two-way forward. Like, coming up, they're expecting him to be kind of like and the next Palat type. You know what I mean? A guy that can put up 50 points with good defensive numbers. So that tells me that Tampa 2 line, it should be pretty good here tonight. And two of those three guys are on the top power play unit, and you see that high implied goal total here for Tampa Bay. So I kind of like Tampa 2 here. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, initially when I saw this game, I was like, oh, man, this is just – I'm going to skip. This is an easy X out for me. But then you see 3.3 total on the road for Tampa. You see Killorn and Cirelli on the top power play, and you see the first ownership run or the second ownership run that we have. They're coming in at 1.5%. So, I mean, like, it's just so hard to stack Tampa right now with all the injuries. But at least Killorn and Cirelli have played consistent minutes together. They're both on the power play together. Montreal takes a lot of penalties. They have a bad penalty kill. So, and their price is reasonable. It's only $9,500 for the two of them. You want to put in Fortier, you can. He's been priced. I don't think it's necessary. But, you know, you get those two under 10K at 1% on the top power play at 3.3 total on the road against a bad team. I think, you know, the stars are lining up for that one. I don't think I would want to play Plot Stamkos just because Stamkos over 7K, they're going to get, you know, the only Montreal matchup that can maybe, you know, fasten their seatbelts for a full game. I don't know. So for me, like, I really don't want to play anything in this game, but like, just because of all the reasons I mentioned before, Killorn Cirelli two man, I think is what I'm going to look at on the Tampa side. On the Montreal side, Mike Hoffman one off, I think makes some sense. He's only 3,200. He gets, you know, he is what he is. He's a power play specialist essentially at this point in his career. But for that price, I'll take a stab on it. That's really about it for me on the Montreal side.
Yeah, there's really nothing that interests me for Montreal. I mean, even Ben Chiarot, like, getting those power play minutes, I don't even know if that will help him. I think he's so bad on the power play that it's actually detrimental to his fantasy value. On the Tampa Bay side, I agree with you on Tampa 2. Like, Lehkonen and Evans are the shutdown line for Montreal, and they're actually not bad. 59% of the scoring chances when they're on the ice together, that seems like a decent shutdown line to me. So that takes me away from Tampa 1 and gets me to the Killorn Cirelli duo in Tampa 2. Because once you get to the Montreal second and third lines, man, they are awful. So with that high total on the road, like, Tampa has the highest or second highest road total tonight, I think.
I think it's the highest, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I really like that Tampa second line. Florida. Florida's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But Kalorn and Sorelli just make a lot of sense as a two-man here. They've had good numbers together. I think they've had great numbers since Fortier got there. And I said how they expect him to be a great two-way winger. And Tampa's been pretty good at cranking out good two-way wingers over the last decade. So I trust them. I trust them on that front. So Tampa 2 for me, nothing on the Montreal side other than I agree with you on that Hoffman one-off. The blue line, there's nobody that sticks out to me other than correlating. What about you?
I don't mind Ryan McDonagh as a one-off. But really, other than that, like, if you want to go to Romanoff for min price, I guess. I mean, there's only so many people down at 2,500 if you need somebody, so you just got to mention it.
Yeah, we should mention Cale Clegg was picked by Montreal, but he's on the third pair, and, like, they still have Benchirot on the power play, so he might be third pair, no power play. That just doesn't do anything, so... Yeah. All right, let's move it along. New York Islanders, they are going into Ottawa. The Islanders have a 3.0 implied goal total. While Ottawa is sitting at 2.5, Ottawa is playing a back-to-back, having played last night. But not only is it a back-to-back for Ottawa, this is their fifth game in 7 days. And all those games have included travel. So they went home, road, now back home. That's a lot of miles for a team that just... through a COVID shutdown 3 weeks ago. I think that's why you're seeing such a low total for them, despite the fact that the Islanders aren't a very good team on the other side. So what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I hate this game. We have to talk about it. Islanders have a 3 total road. Like, I wish there was like a line that I wanted to use, because I probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine the Norris Tkachuk line, going to see not the Barzal Lee line.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with the Islanders is, like, that's probably right, but the Islanders just haven't been that good defensively regardless of the line.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking from the other side, you know, like, so that means, you know, Stützle, Paul Brown going to go out against Barzal Lee probably, and they've been, you know, at least decent. And the problem is, like, Anders Lee, 6,300, like, I don't want to pay 6,300 for Anders Lee tonight. You want to go down the second line going against Norris Tkachuk? Like, sure, but like, if it's like JG Pageau, Palmieri, Beauvillier, that line is just awful. They're high event defensively. It makes me want to have more interest in the Ottawa side. But then Ottawa's 5 games in 7 days, and you see the Ottawa top line coming in at 12-13%. Like, I just don't want to play a 13% line in a 2.5 total playing 5 games in 7 nights. So, you know, I think, you know, if you want to one off like a Wahlstrom or, you know, a Stützle, I think that's fine. But, like, realistically, I don't really want to have anything from this game, especially 1-3. The more lines you make, obviously, you can start throwing them in just a little bit. Like, in a vacuum, Ottawa want to be my favorite line. But, like, with the ownership and all the travel and all the games, like, I'm going to be underweight on this game as a whole.
Yeah, we should mention – Ottawa 1 -2 actually negatively leveraged by our top stacks tool. I just checked the matching from their last home game, and they did send out Tkachuk and Norris against the top line, but that's something that's changed. It seems almost like every 3 home games. I just don't think the matching really matters that much, whether it's the top line or second line in this game. I wanted to point out that Leon Barzal have been getting a little bit better over the last month. 52% shot share, 31 scoring chances per 60 minutes. That's considerably better than they did in the month of October. And with Dobson, you know, pretty reasonably priced at 4K, I think there's an argument to be made for the Islanders top line here tonight. We have them positively leveraged by our top 2 stacks. It's just Anders Lee has 4 points on the season, and he's priced at like 6,300 or something like that. They just feel overpriced for what they've done so far this year. So you're playing them purely because of matchup, not because they've been good this season. And that always worries me. I think for this game, I'm not going to be stacking much. The stack I like the most is the Islanders top line. But I don't think I'm going to be using them in my 5 lineups. I do like Noah Dobson on the blue line. Nikita Zaitsev and Artem Zub, both super cheap as well. What do you like, Josh?
I agree with all that. It's really about it. Like, normally I'd say Pelletier Mayfield, but minutes have been weird with the Islanders defensemen. So Dobson getting the power play time is probably your safest bet.
Yeah. Do like some Dobson. And yeah, Zaitsev on the other side is fine for me as well. Get access to all the great Osmo Plus tools and content for nearly every DFS sport out there with an Osmo Plus weekly pass for $29.95. This includes full access to all the premium content and tools on Osmo.com, including player projections, ownership projections, our premium Discord, our lineup builder, and a whole lot more. If you're a new user of Osmo Plus Platinum, then you can take advantage of our promo code that we have for this show. And that promo code is NHL Strategy Show, all capital letters, all one word, NHL Strategy Show for 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum. You can find the link to activate this coupon in the description of the video below. Of course, if you're only looking to play NHL DFS, then you can sign up for one of our Osmo Plus NHL packages for as low as $3.95 a week. Stop guessing, start winning. Join Osmo Plus today. That's NHL Strategy Show, all caps, all one word, for 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum. All right, let's move it along to our next game. Nashville, they have a 2.8 implied goal total. They're going into Detroit. The Red Wings have a 2.6 implied goal total. No Tyler Bertuzzi for Detroit again here. And when I was looking up their line numbers without Tyler Bertuzzi, boy, they're bad. 50% shot share, which is not good for a top line. 36% of the scoring chances. That is absolutely abysmal. I don't know if I can get to any Detroit here tonight. I might like something on the Nashville side. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, so you see both of these top lines are fully correlated. They're around similar price. I think Nashville's a little bit more expensive, but the ownership on Nashville 1 is what's taking me to Nashville 1 here. They're going to get that third line of Detroit, their quote-unquote shutdown line, Rasmussen, Ernie, Nemestikov. And, you know, on the surface, they have pretty decent defensive numbers. They have under 2 expected goals against per 60, but only a 45% shot share. And going into that Forsberg-Granlund-Duchesne matchup, they have excellent numbers. They have almost a 60% shot share, almost 3.5 expected goals for per 60. And their ownership is 2.5-3%. That's really what it is. Like, they're a fully correlated line. 2.8 total on the road is nothing to write home about. But, like, you go down the lineup and you're like, well, you know, if they get to 2.8 goals, it's probably going to be from that top line. So, I really like Nashville 1 here tonight. You want to, like, I've come around on Luke Cunnan a little bit just because his price has under 3K. You can get, like, a Tolvanen, Cunnan, you know, Matthias Ekholm three-man power play two stack for, like, I don't know, 8,500. And if you need to fit in some, if you're power play stacking Edmonton, something like that. I know I read your article, so we have more talking points today. Ili Tolvanen is only shooting 3% on the season. I'll let you talk about him, but I really like Nashville 1, that two-man I mentioned. On the wing side, like, if you want to play Detroit 1 and MME, I think that's fine, but 1-3, they're not in it for me. You want to have Suter Zadina, two-man, I think that's okay as well. Like, the Johansson, Tolvin, and Cunning line has been actually pretty good defensively this season, so if you want to get there a little bit, like, because you want to mix up, like, the guys you're putting in with some power play stacks, I think that's fine, but nothing really sticking out on the Detroit side for me other than, you know, some stuff in MME.
Yeah, I just, without Bertuzzi there, I just don't have the same excitement. Like, I know there's a lot of savings going down to Robbie Fabry, but I just think Bertuzzi's just, I don't know if he's necessarily a much better player than Fabry, but he's certainly a better player on that line. And that's all that really matters here. Yes, I did write about Ili Tolvanen in the Power Plays article today. Basically, it was just that, you know, he's been shooting 3% on the season, and he has, I think, 5 DK shot bonuses already on the year, despite, you know, playing 12, 13, 14 minutes a lot of nights. Like, he shoots a lot. And the first 50 games of his career or whatever, he shot like 17%. So, you know, I'm not saying he's a 17% shooter, but I don't think he's a, you know, 3, 4, 5% shooter either. So I do like Tolvin in 2,900 one-off on DK, but I'm all about that Nashville top line. You went over how good they've been This year, they will see the shutdown line from Detroit, and they've been good. But for me, it's about that Nashville ownership. Like, you're telling me I can get a perfectly correlated line at 2-3% against this Detroit team, which is a better Detroit team, but at best, middle of the pack in the league. Like, I will absolutely have a little bit of that Nashville top line. On the blue line, Roman Josi, I have to say him because Jake says I have to. Anybody else stick out here to you?
Yeah. Philip Hronek, 3,400. His price hasn't moved. I still like him. Josi, 7,500, currently projected under 10%. Like, all jokes aside, like, I really like. And because normally Josi is like 19-25%. Like, if you can get a Josi under 10%, I see Jake in chat. So, you know, give him a little winky face, but yeah, I really like Josi tonight.
Yeah, no, 7,500 Josi, especially where Detroit, you know, they've started taking fewer penalties of late, but they're still in the middle of the league. It's not like they take no penalties. So yeah, I think Josi makes a lot of sense as a one-off here tonight, especially if you're not playing, you know, the McDavids and all those guys that we'll talk about in a little bit. Let's get to this next game. Anaheim, 3.2 implied goal total. They're going into Buffalo. Buffalo has a 2.7 implied goal total. If I'm not mistaken, Anaheim's has come down a little bit through the day and Buffalo's has come up, but it's still a six over under in this game. And, you know, Anaheim's going to be without Ryan Getzlaf. Trevor Zegras' line played a ton of minutes last night. They're probably going to have to play a lot of minutes again here tonight. It just looks like they're going to be very, very widely owned. So what do you think here, Josh?
Yeah, it's just hilarious when you say 3.1 total for the Ducks back-to-back on the road. Like, if this was last year, I would have just, like, logged off. But, like, that line is insane. And their price really hasn't moved. They're 3K or 13K to full stack on DraftKings. The problem I'm running into here, they're back-to-back on the road, and they're coming in around 18%. They're just a little too chalky for me. If you want to get to them in MME, come in around the field, they're a little bit under, a little bit over, sure. But 1-3, I think I'm going to fade them. There are other options that I like. I was fooling around with building one lineup. There is some other spots that I like. I'm never going to tell you to fade this line because they still have over 4 expected goals per 60, which is just bonkers. Now their minutes are up now that Getzlaf's out, so they're going to play a ton of minutes. They're going to avoid that Buffalo top line, which makes me interested in that Buffalo top line because they're going to get, you know, the Sam Steels of the world, the Lundestroms, you know, the Deloriers. Like, I like Sam Steels, the defensive winger, not as a defensive center. That Buffalo top line is fully correlated. They're coming in only around 7%. They're not very expensive. I think they're a very sneaky GPP option tonight. Like, there's, you know, McDavid, there's Matthews, there's all of these other lines that are going to draw interest, you know, Nashville, the other stuff we'll get to, but like, you know, Buffalo's perceived terrible team, but like, this line has been pretty good. Tage Thompson's having like a really good season. His numbers started to fall off a little bit, but they're, you know, they're still good. And the depth of the Ducks without Getzlaf is just a mess. So I really like Buffalo. Buffalo top line's my favorite line in this game. Obviously, if you want to play some Ducks one, that's completely fine. Like, I'm just telling you my personal preference tonight, I'm going to fade them. So, you know, both top lines in play for me, that's really about it for both sides.
Yeah, nothing to add with the Anaheim side. It's a, you know, that Zegras Milano Raquel line is just a great line. With Getzlaf, Hurt, and Terry not scoring, you know, 2 goals every game anymore. They need to play that line, you know, 20-21 minutes. So I'm not going to say don't play the perfectly correlated 13K line with the implied goal total over 3. Like, not that dumb, but I will probably be personally avoiding them because they are probably going to be the chalkiest line on the slate. That includes all the McDavid and Matthews stacks that we're going to get. So that's the only reason I'm not playing Anaheim. I am in on Buffalo as well. Their numbers have started to slide a little bit, but it's been more defensive than offensive. Like, they're still scoring, they're still generating. It's just their defensive numbers are starting to get bad, which I think, you know, that's kind of to be expected as the season wears on. But I do really like that Buffalo top line. You talked about their top 2 percentage. We have them At, you know, 5 to 6% top two. We have them about 7% ownership, so there's no problem with the ownership here. If you want to throw in Rasmus Dahlin on the blue line, I'm probably going to have, you know, certainly going to have Rasmus Dahlin in somewhere as well. Should also mention Anaheim penalty kill is bad, like bottom 10 in the league bad over the last month in particular. It's just their goaltending has been 967 while shorthanded. Like, eventually that dam is going to burst and the goals are going to start flying in. So yeah, I do like Buffalo one. On the blue line, there's no one from the Buffalo side I really want to play unless it's Dahlin in my Buffalo stacks. It's just they're playing Dahlin a lot. Nobody else is really getting a ton of time, but you did mention one guy to me before the show.
Yeah, Will Butcher popping in the Osmo projections. Min Price, I think he's the highest projected defenseman at 2,500. You know, listen, you know, it's not sexy, but if you need a 2,500 defenseman, he's probably the guy. On the Ducks side, you know, you want to put in Jamie Drysdale with the Ducks top line. I think that's a good way to get the four guys lower owned. That's really about it.
Yeah, I just want to mention the goaltending matchup here. Obviously, John Gibson started last night, so it should be Anthony Stolarz for the Ducks. Buffalo's going with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and the thing about him is that he's supposed to be their goaltender of the future. But there's also a reason that they haven't really called him up at all over the last 3 years, despite the fact that it's just been open season on goaltending in Buffalo. And it's that they don't really think he's ready for the NHL. Now, whether you want to take Buffalo's assessment of him at face value, given the strength of the rest of the team, that's up to you. But they don't think he's ready for the NHL. They're just playing him because they're running out of bodies. So I think it's another point in favor of Anaheim, but goaltenders be goaltenders. Am I right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, he can't possibly do worse than Malcolm Subban. That was the kiss of death. But, yeah, I mean, listen, if he was, like, 6,800, I'd have some interest in him. But 7,500, probably not. But you just hope if you're fading the Ducks, he just doesn't let in 9.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we're hoping for here tonight. We did mention Yahoo earlier. They are our sponsor, and we have partnered with Yahoo Fantasy for this NHL season to bring you guys some great offers. Check out our exclusive limited time offer, which gets you one free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. To qualify, you need to be new to Yahoo, sign up for an account via the link below, deposit and play. That's it. Yahoo will send us your name after you play in your first paid contest, and we will reach out via email with your coupon. If you need immediate access, email support@osmo.com and we'll get you set up right away. You can also claim a free $10 of site credit by clicking the link in the video description below. And that can be used to enter any Yahoo contest. Make sure to use our DFS tools and projections designed specifically for Yahoo to give yourself the best shot at winning big. All right. Thank you very much, Yahoo Fantasy. You've been good to us. We'll hopefully continue to be good to you. Next game up, Florida, 3.2 implied goal total. They're going into St. Louis. The Blues have a 2.8 implied goal total. Alexander Barkov back for Florida. He'll be on the top line with Max Mammon and Carter Verhaeghe. Second line of Jonathan Huberdeau, Sam Bennett, and Sam Reinhart. On the St. Louis side, looks like they're going with 10 forwards and 7 defensemen tonight. They have some injuries. Robert Thomas is going to be out tonight. David Perron obviously is still out. And it's just the way the cap works that they can't call up any more forwards to play. So they're going with 10 forwards tonight and 7 defensemen. So expect both heavy minutes and also some mixed line combinations for the St. Louis forwards. Not seeing a lot of ownership on the Florida side of things. Despite the fact that they're carrying a fairly high total, I see Florida 2 coming in at 3%. I see Florida 1 coming in at 0.1%. So seems like this spot is going wildly overlooked here, Josh.
Yeah, and for some reason the Blues are just chalk.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense because they're going to play a ton of minutes tonight. You know, matchups are going to be weird. The line combinations are going to be weird. Florida 2, I know we always talk about it, but here we are again. They're fully correlated. They're probably going to avoid O'Reilly, I would imagine. Like, if Barkov's in, I would imagine O'Reilly. Granted, there's only three lines tonight, really. So, but the times O'Reilly's out there, they're going to try to get him out against Barkov, I would imagine. So, 4-2, pretty expensive, but ownership, 2%, like fully correlated. Bennett, we've talked about with Huberdeau, very good. You know, Sam Reinhart has come alive in the past few weeks. Listen, it's one of my favorite spots of the night. Again, I feel like a broken record every time I talk about it, but it's true. I think I want to see another run on ownership on this top line, because if Barkov is like under 3%, something like that, I don't mind like taking some stabs on a Barkov one-off or even like Barkov or Hagee. Like, the thing is, like, he is coming back from injury. He's 7,900. He's pretty expensive, this and that. But in GPPs, I think you definitely take some stabs. And then on the blue side, I'm not sure I want to, you know, play Ryan O'Reilly at 18%. We'll see where the ownership goes. I think I'd probably go with Kyrou, Shen, Tarasenko. They're correlated, at least on paper. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to mix and match line mates here. But, you know, they're all power play one. Their ownership's like 12-13%. Shen's only 3,500. So even if he gets jumbled around with only three lines plus one guy, he's still going to be probably around 18-19 minutes, you would think. So, like, I get why the ownership is high on the Blues. Personally, I wish it was lower, because I maybe want to play them a little bit more. But, like, with Florida getting healthy, with Forsling back, it's not the best spot. Like, I don't know. I have ownership concerns on the Blues, but, you know, on paper, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, for me, it's like my projections still take years past into consideration pretty heavily. So, like, Braden Shen at 3,500 is just, it comes out as one of the best values. Yeah, it comes out as one of the best values of the season on my numbers. So, like, if I don't want to play as St. Louis too, like, I have to forcibly push them out of my lineup. And, like, I don't really like doing that. I don't mind Xing out a lineup because I think they'll be 20% owned and I don't think they're worth it. Like, kind of like Anaheim here tonight on the back-to-back. I don't like Xing out a lineup that, you know, that implied goal totals come up to 3 over the day. And he's 3,500 and is probably going to play like 19 minutes, including power play time. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels stupid to say, not going to cross him off, going to move along. Like, it's, I keep thinking, are those the right line combinations? Are those the line combinations in the second period? Like, that's my problem here. It's like, I'm finding it hard to stack. So I find myself going with a lot of like Shen. I have a couple Shen one-offs, especially where you can throw him in at center. So you don't have to worry about your second center on DraftKings. I really do. I'll just say I like both second lines in this game. I think the second line for St. Louis is obviously coming in over owned, but they're going to play a lot of minutes, and the Florida second line likes to trade chances back and forth. We say that all the time, but it's the same thing with the St. Louis second line. Shen and Kyrou this year have been trading chances back and forth whenever they've skated together. And that Florida second line, like you said, is coming in at 2-3%. So, in order, I like the Florida second line and then the St. Louis second line, but those are the two lines I'm focusing on in this game. On the blue line, I know it's 10-7, but Colton Parayko down at his price in what should be a fairly fast-paced matchup is really tickling my fancy there in the mid-4Ks. Obviously, Forsling 3,900, I think, is fine on the Florida side as well. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I agree. Mackenzie Weegar, even at 5,200, excuse me, if you're down to your last D-man, you have that. I think Weegar makes some sense. Ekblad in some Florida 2 stacks. Need a punt. Radko Gudas, good ass. We love a good ass here at Osmo for 2,800. That is some good ass. And then,
I'll go ahead.
I lost my train of thought after that.
Well, it took me a second to click in what you said, and I was like, oh my God, he did it. No, I was just checking chat, and just to talk about the goalies real quick. They said play Huso, 45 saves. Now, obviously, you know, that's kind of a joke, but Florida is one of the higher shot volume teams in the league. It's just that we don't know if Huso is necessarily a good goalie, but he's 7,400 at home.
Yeah, there's some interesting choices to pay down for a goalie tonight. I think Husso is one of them. Merzlikens under 7K against the Leafs is another. We'll get to the goalie picks at the end, but, you know, I think Husso makes some sense just from a shot volume standpoint in GPPs. I would not feel comfortable with him at all, but I get the play.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable with him either. Like, I think I'd probably just go to, like Aiden Hill in San Jose or something like that, but I certainly would get it. All right, let's move along to our next game. Carolina is going into Winnipeg. Carolina Hurricanes have a 2.8 implied goal total. Winnipeg also has a 2.8 implied goal total. Both that over-under, by the way, opened at 5.5, got steamed to 6. So both teams sitting at an implied goal total with 3 as we sit here in the middle of the afternoon. So when I see those implied goal totals and then I look over at the ownership, I see a positively leveraged line on Winnipeg 1. I see about break even on Winnipeg 2. And I don't see a lot of ownership on Carolina. So is this one of those sneaky games where it could end up like 5-3, but we just don't, for some reason, we talked ourselves out of playing players in this one?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we were talking before the show and I was like, I'm kind of confused on this game. And it's just, and then you're telling me how, you know, the main reason to stack against Winnipeg is because their penalty kill has been so bad, but they've actually improved on it this season. So I don't know. I think the ownership on Carolina 1 right now is a little bit messed up because both Sebastian Aho's are on the slate, which always gives us some trouble because why have the same player on two different teams on the same slate, but we'll get that corrected. But I still don't think, you know, the Carolina top line will be super heavily owned anyway. There's some positive leverage on Winnipeg 1, and I think that's fine. Like, I don't want to pay $5,000 for Blake Wheeler. You can call it a bad buy, so you can call whatever you want. I would rather dip down to the line that's been very good 5-on-5, and that's Kopp, Dubois, Ehlers. They're going to get, you know, the Trocheck matchup, I would imagine. You know, it's been pretty good. Like, Trocheck and Jarvis have pretty good defensive numbers together. It's just a small sample. Net just there. You know, I think, you know, in 1-3, cutting down to either side of this game might be tough, but the both top sixes on both sides, you know, in MME, I think is going to be a very sneaky play tonight because there's not much ownership anywhere in this game.
Yeah, that it's the Winnipeg top line that I'll talk about first that interests me. And it interests me for this reason is that Carolina takes a boatload of penalties, like by far the most penalties of any team in the league. It's just Carolina also has one of the better penalty kills in the league. So, you know, Winnipeg might get 4 or 5 opportunities on the power play here tonight. And though Carolina does have a good penalty kill, that Winnipeg power play has shown itself to be pretty deadly at times over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been largely the same players the entire time. So that Winnipeg 1 line is kind of tickling my fancy here. It's just they're very expensive. I shouldn't say very expensive. I think they're properly priced at 19.6K. And that's the same price as the Edmonton top line. It's more expensive than the Minnesota top line. And Minnesota has the same implied goal total with less ownership. It's, you know, about $1,000 more expensive than the Nashville top line, and the Nashville top line coming in at a third the ownership. So, like, I think there are just other similarly priced lines that I like more than Winnipeg 1 here tonight. Again, if somebody wants to play them because they should get 4 or 5 power play opportunities, absolutely go right ahead, fill your boots. It's just in my lineups, I think I'm going to be looking elsewhere. I do like Carolina 1, though. Here, Svechnikov and Teravainen, Aho and Teravainen, 60% shot share on the ice here together, both playing the power play. Winnipeg's penalty kill has improved, but it's still the middle of the league. You know, it's not a Carolina-esque penalty kill. It's middle of the league. So Aho, Teravainen, I think, make a nice two-man throw in Niederreiter if you want to make that full line stack. So both top lines here out of this game, but I will say I like the Carolina top line a fair bit more. On the blue line with Neil Pionk suspended from Winnipeg, I suspect it's going to be Nate Schmidt running the top power play unit because he was running it earlier in the season. Jacob Slavin all the way up to 5,600 now. That seems like an absolute no-go for me. What do you think about this game in the defense?
Yeah, I kind of like Nate Schmidt. Brendan Dillon, still min price. We were talking about before the show, like, Yeah, he shouldn't be 2,500. Should be 2,800, 2,900, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but like when you're trying to jam in min price guys, like you just keep, you find yourself just keep clicking in Brandon Dillon. Brady Shea, 3,100 is a fine one off as well. Ethan Bear, if you want to dip down to another min price guy, if he's in.
Yeah, I also do like Connor. We both like Connor Hellebuck as a goalie in this game. All right, let's get to this next one. New York Rangers, 2.8 implied goal total. They're going into Chicago. The Blackhawks have a 2.7 implied goal total. I wrote up the Rangers in my Power Plays article today, specifically the top line, because, you know, Kaapo Kakko has made that line better since they've gotten there. You know, it's just Zibanejad's been, let's just say, inconsistent at best this season. So it just seems like it's a matchup of two bad defensive teams and no Igor Shesterkin. So like goaltending isn't really a concern either. It's just a 5.5 total. It doesn't, I just don't get it. Why don't you make this make sense to me, Josh?
You don't, did you watch their game the other night when we played Rangers 1?
Yes.
Like I'd rather watch paint dry sometime than trying to watch Mika Zibanejad like play 5-on-5.
Oh,
anyway. 7K. Like, why is he 7K?
It's like Anders Lee. Anders Lee has 4 points this year at 6,300. Like, why?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, the Toews-Kane-Hagel line has left a lot to desire defensively. So, like, I get the play. And you always mention it, like, Chicago hasn't got better defensively. They've just had really good goaltending. So, you know, listen, I get the Rangers 1 play. I don't know if I can get there personally, 1-3. At their ownership percentage in MME, you don't need much to get over the field. You want to go to Strome, Panarin? I guess that's fine. But, like, Kirby Dach, Strome, DeBrincat has surprisingly decent defensive numbers. The line, again, that I like the most from the Rangers, at least from a 5-on-5 perspective, is that third line. They've generated a lot of chances. They've been high event both ways. I mean, I think Kubalik makes for a very interesting one-off tonight because, man, that third line is – high event, but Hito Lafreniere, two man, 5,500 for the two of them. Listen, I'm gonna go to that line until they start getting priced up when I need cheap two man, because you know they've been generating a ton of chances, they just haven't been able to score. It's gonna come eventually, or it won't. But like for 5,500, you know, if you get a shot bonus, I think that'll pay off at the price. I get the Rangers 1 play. You want to go there, that's fine. For me, I'll take some chances on some Rangers 3, not heavy. You know, if I'm power play stacking Edmonton, my 1-3, I'll consider Lafreniere, Hedl, two-man. Toews, Kane, two-man, sure. Like, the Rangers are a completely different team without Igor. Like, Georgiev is a good goalie, but he's nowhere near the goalie that Igor is, so... I think there is some stuff to like on the Blackhawks side. It's just tough to full stack them. They just haven't been great either.
Yeah. Should mention Connor Murphy out for Chicago tonight. So I'll probably make him a little bit worse defensively as well. I'm glad you mentioned Rangers 3. Like when you mentioned it, I started laughing, and it's not because I was laughing at you. It's because I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. I've started making my lineups and I'm probably going 5 lineups tonight. And one of them, at least right now, is some sort of Rangers 3 Edmonton power play melange. Like that's one of the stacks that I had. I think they could just tear apart that Chicago bottom six. So that Rangers third line is one of my favorite, is probably my favorite third line on the entire slate. I did write up the Chicago Toews and Kane line in the Power Plays article. They're controlling 54.5% of the shots when they're on the ice. So they haven't been bad, but, you know, just not great. I just think Toews at 4K, put him with Kane, you know, at home, not a terrible matchup, I think is perfectly fine. But I like the Rangers top line and I like the Rangers third line in this game the most. Anybody stick out to you on the blue line?
Calvin DeHaan, top pair, min price. I keep finding myself needing min price defensemen recently. So I've been, you know, looking. Calvin DeHaan makes some sense. you know, Gustafsson's still on the top power play at 2,700. Doesn't really do much, but he's on the top power play. On the Rangers side, outside of Fox and Trouba, you know, the guys are really cheap, but they really don't do much. So, not really.
Yeah, I do like Trouba as well here tonight. We have an awesome Hall of Fame here where we like to celebrate all of our winners. And if you want to get into the Osmo Hall of Fame, this is how you do it. You download the Osmo avatar from osmo.com/avatar, placed in the top three of a contest with at least 5,000 contestants, and tweet the wins to the Osmo Hoff account on Twitter. That's Osmo HOF on Twitter. You can win a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. For doing so, you can only win one free month per year, but it's not a bad little gimmick. You win, we win, we all win. Get into the Osmo Hall of Fame. You'll see some of the winners jump up on the screen. You see Kylo P21 just taking down $50. New says new subscriber took down 200 man tournaments. Good for him. We had Nathan Joyce. Jake talked about him yesterday on the show. One of our editors says he didn't have time to do a lot of research, so he threw something together with the tools, took down a second place for 250. You see our help, 24, 20K second place. So lots of winners. To get in the Osmo Hall of Fame, osmo.com/avatar, and tweet a top three finish with at least 5,000 contestants to the Osmo Hoff account. All right, we got two more games to get through, Josh. Let's get through these games. The first one, Minnesota, 3.1 implied goal total. They're going into Edmonton. The Oilers have a 3.4 implied goal total. I wrote up in my Power Plays article this morning the Edmonton power play, just because Minnesota is the second most penalized team in hockey and their penalty kill is average at best. And an average penalty kill, taking a lot of penalties against this Edmonton team, is very bad. So love the Edmonton power play here. What do you like?
Yeah, Connor McDavid got kicked out of last game. He only finished with 6 DK points, still projected at 19% on a 10 gamer, but like that's actually not bad for McDavid. So
yeah.
Yeah, so Edmonton power play, I'm in on as well. There's a lot of stuff I like on the Minnesota side, though. Nurse is back, but they're still pretty poor defensively. That top line has ridiculous numbers. Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello. They're going to get the McDavid matchup. And yeah, that normally should scare you off. But, you know, McDavid, Hyman, Puljujarvi, pretty high event both ways. 4-5% on that top line. I really like it. And then that second line, Nugent Hopkins, Drysdale, Yamamoto, they're probably going to get Rask, Fiala, Pitlick, because you want to avoid the checking line. That line is pretty bad defensively, so I don't mind like Fiala one-off here. You want to even put him in with Rask for a two-man. I think that's fine. I think the really sneaky spot on Minnesota tonight is that checking line. They're going to get the bottom six of Edmonton, Fogle, McLeod, Cassian. Like, that's just not a great defensive line. I think Joel Eriksson Ek is a really sneaky one-off tonight at center. He's on the top power play. He's coming in at, like, 1%. You want to put in some other, like, a checking guy with him. You want to put Greenway with him at min price. I think that's fine. But, like, 3.1 total, you know, that checking line getting, you know, bottom six matchups, Eriksson Ek on the top power play unit, I think, you know, very sneaky, very good one-off tonight. But Minnesota 1. So Minnesota 2, so Minnesota 3. I like the power play for Edmonton. I don't really like full stacking Edmonton outside of the top line.
Yeah, Edmonton power play for me in this one. I like that call in the checking line. That didn't really cross my mind. That is a pretty good call on Eriksson Ek, but I do like that Minnesota top line as well, just because they're coming in at half the ownership that they probably should be. So, yeah, Minnesota 1 for me. Let's get to this next last game very quickly. Calgary 3.0 implied goal total. They're going into San Jose. The Sharks have a 2.5 implied goal total. I'm going to tell you just flat out, I have nothing from this game. I don't, other than Aiden Hill or Mario Ferraro from the Sharks, there's no one that interests me from this game. So what do you got, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wanted to play Meyer Couture, but like, Meyer's 7,400. It's just, I can't pay that price on this slate. Second line leaves a lot to be desired recently. You know, if you want to get to some stuff on the Calgary side, I think, you know, Calgary 1 at 3% in MME makes some sense. Mangiapane, Backlund, 2-man makes some sense in some MME. But in 1-3, there's really nothing I want in this game outside of the goalies.
Yeah, I'll just mention, if you're not playing like Edmonton or Toronto or whatever, that San Jose top line pretty good leverage. You know, if you're playing 20 or 150, you're definitely going to want to sneak them in. But yeah, nothing for me other than maybe Mauro Ferraro or Aiden Hill out of that game. All right, we got to get out of here. I'm going to ask you for your hat trick picks and your goalies. I wrote up Connor Hellebuck in the Power Plays article. I like him tonight. Also like Aiden Hill and Alex Nedeljkovic in net. My hat trick pick is Mr. Billy Nylander. Who you got?
I like Aiden Hill as well. I like Hellebuck. There's some cheap guys. Like, I think you have to consider taking Merzlikins for the shot volume. Saros as well. And my hat trick pick is Ryan Hartman.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Ryan Hartman. I love it because I love that shooting. Player. Yeah, I love it. All right, Ryan Hartman, William Nylander, your hat trick picks. We got to get out of here. Coming up next, you're going to have the No House Advantage NBA Strategy Show with Eitan and Terry. So if you want to get your NBA on, stick here. We'll be back tomorrow. So for Tyler, for Josh, we'll see you in 23 hours.